Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here again on another awesome Sunday night. And this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. So I hope you've had an awesome week. We're going to kind of pick up where we left off last week. Last week, we were in John chapter 1, and we went over John's account of calling the disciples. To quickly summarize, John the Baptist sent two of his disciples, one of whom was Andrew. The other one, we're not sure. Some people think it was John, since he doesn't identify himself. But one was Andrew. They followed Jesus. Jesus looked back at them and said, "What are you looking for?" Andrew said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" Jesus said, "Come and see." And it was 4 p.m. Then Andrew went and got his brother, Peter. Jesus said, "You're Simon, the son of Jonah. You're going to be, from now on, you're going to be known as Cephas," which is the rock. And then Jesus directly called Philip and said, "Follow me." And Philip, being at the right place at the right time, so to speak, followed him. And he went to get his friend Nathanael. And so we're going to pick up from there, because although we talked about Nathanael briefly, I want to pick it up in a little more detail and connect it to a famous passage in the Old Testament in the Tanakh from the book of Genesis. But first, I want to continue with John chapter 1. So we're going to go to John 1, verse 45. So we'll give you a second to flip to it. Nathanael is a serious guy, apparently. And he's from Cana. It tells us he's from Cana in Galilee. And when we get to verse 45, it seems like he is just a friend of Philip's. So verse 45, "Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.'" So Philip had just met Jesus. And I pointed out last week that the first part of the book of John is arranged like the book of Genesis. It even starts out with "in the beginning," and then it goes by a series of days. It says "in the next day," "and the next day," "and the next day." So this is the next day. And it's set up like Genesis because, in my opinion, I think John is trying to portray to people who are now in the new covenant, we are now a new creation, that the book of Genesis, the first book of Moses, the first book of Torah, at the beginning, in the beginning, I should say, the Hebrew word Bereshit, in the beginning, that's the name of the book in Hebrew, is about the creation of everything, the creation of the universe, the creation of man and woman. And John is, I think, trying to portray the idea that now in Jesus we are a new creation. Creation is made new. And many people, without getting into a discussion about the Sabbath, many people feel that when Christians began worshiping on Sunday, rather than it being the first day of the week, which of course it was also called the eighth day of the week, but it was the first day of the week because it's a new creation, it's a new week. We're not going to get into the debate about the Sabbath, but Philip makes the point to Nathanael that we found the Messiah. And he connects him to Moses and the prophets. Now, if you're familiar with my ministry called One in Messiah, you know this is what we do. And there's a website, oneinmessiah.website, www.oneinmessiah.website, where you can hear all the teachings from the live version of One in Messiah. And on my YouTube channel, which is One in Messiah, Gift of Grace Ministries, One in Messiah, Gift of Grace Ministries. You can see all the video teachings as well as a lot of other videos. But the live version of One in Messiah takes place at 709 Brook Park Road in Brooklyn Heights. So if you're in the Cleveland area, it's 709 Brook Park Road at Calvary Chapel of Cleveland. And we gather there about 6:15. We begin about 6:30 on Friday, every Friday night. So we connect to Old Testament, New Testament passages, and this is what we're going to do tonight. So Philip had just met Jesus, but right away he goes to tell his friend Nathanael, and he's convinced that the scriptures have been fulfilled. He apparently knew the scriptures. I think even these working people in Galilee, that the people in Jerusalem and in the land of Judah looked down on, even these working people knew the scriptures probably better than most people do today, which is, well, a sad commentary, but we'll talk about that some other time. So Philip knew the scriptures and was convinced that he had met the Messiah and wasted no time to go tell someone about it. When you meet Jesus, you don't keep it to yourself and you don't say, gee, really glad I met him. I think my life is going to be a little bit better from now on. It's giving me a little positive thinking. No, you run out and you tell people. The woman at the well ran and told the whole town, and they all went out to meet him. And they told him to stay so that they could continue to hear him teach. So Nathanael has an interesting response, verse 46. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Come and see. Philip doesn't debate with him, doesn't have a theological discussion, doesn't go back to talk about Torah and the prophets like he mentioned at the beginning of his conversation. He says, come and see. Come and meet him and see what you think. Come and meet him and see how Torah and the prophets are being fulfilled. So Philip leads him, evangelizes him, doesn't argue with him, and he takes him to Jesus, goes with him to, I don't know if they presented, if he presented Nathanael, but he went with him back to where Jesus was. And this was Philip's way of evangelizing his good friend Nathanael. So he doesn't argue with him, doesn't debate him, just says, come and see. Verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? So I don't know if Jesus physically heard the word about can anything good come out of Nazareth. Did he supernaturally hear the word, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Was he familiar with the statement, the question that Nathanael had asked at all? I think he was. I don't know if you can say for sure. But this is an interesting thing. He says, an Israelite in whom there's no deceit. Now, did Jesus know him to be a good, honest, modest man? Did he know that he could serve the kingdom as not only one of his disciples, but one of the 12 apostles? What did he mean by the fact that he's a true Israelite? And Jesus excuses the insult that Nathanael made, doesn't mention it. And commonly this happens when he's talking to the woman at the well, some of the things that Peter says, some of the things that Peter asks him at the end of John's gospel, he ignores a question, ignores an insult, ignores a comment that somebody makes, because he's going to use that person for something. He uses us, despite our weaknesses, despite our failings and our shortcomings, despite the fact that we're defective, that we are judgmental, that we are quick to criticize, that we are quick to make light of something. But despite these weaknesses, he uses us. And I always use the two examples of David and Peter, but there are many examples. Today I was thinking about Gideon and all the doubts he had, and we could go on with everybody. So many different, you know, David, the scripture says that he's a man after God's own heart, that the Holy Spirit never departed from him. Simon gets renamed the Rock, and then he denies the Lord three times to a servant girl, not to a soldier, not to the high priest, but to a servant girl. But, of course, David and Peter are used. Gideon is used. So many different people. We don't have time to go over every example in Scripture. But here, he excuses Nathanael's insult. And, you know, if you've been watching the series The Chosen, Jesus says to Nathanael that Israel began with a lot of deceit, referring back to Jacob, who was Israel. So, a true Israelite in whom there was no deceit, but he's quick to judge, he's quick to comment, as we all are, but the Israelites, especially when you study Torah, you see that despite all the signs, despite all the things, despite the deliverance, despite the power that they saw, the signs that they saw, the wonders that they saw, they were constantly rebelling. When they got back to the land, after everything they saw, everything that was given to them, they fell into idolatry and had to be punished, had to be exiled, had to be brought back. So Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." So Jesus saw this supernaturally, saw Nathanael sitting under a fig tree. He had seen him at prayer. It was a common Hebrew custom to sit under fig trees, study scripture, pray, meditate, think about the coming Messiah, what the kingdom of Messiah was going to be like. And it's conceivable that Nathanael had done this. Because, of course, God sees in secret. And God knew his heart. Jesus knew his heart. And I think when Jesus, Yeshua, says, "Here is a true Israelite," he understood Nathanael's heart and knew he wasn't like the hypocrites, like so many of the others, including the religious leaders. So verse 49, Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Wow. In The Chosen, Jesus says, well, that didn't take long. But all of a sudden here, and I mean all of a sudden, Nathanael gives a full confession of faith. He's in front of the Messiah. He's in front of Jesus. He's made a snotty comment about how can anything good come out of Nazareth. And then he makes a full confession of faith based on the fact that Jesus said, "I saw you under the fig tree." His doubts are completely gone. He says in his mind, this is the Messiah. He believes it in his heart. And like it says in the scripture, you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. And this is exactly what Nathanael does at this moment. And he even testifies to both natures of Jesus. testifies that the Messiah has two natures. He calls him Rabbi, which of course means teacher, but this is a title that has to do with his humanity. He says, Rabbi. And then he confesses a title that has to do with his divinity. He says, you're the Son of God and the King of Israel. In other words, you are the one that we have been waiting for. You are the one that we've been waiting for since Genesis 3:15. They didn't have chapters and verses, but if you read Genesis 3:15, you'll know what I'm talking about, and I hope you do. But anyway, this is the one, the Holy One of Israel, as Isaiah calls him, that we've been waiting for centuries, for millennia. And this is him. He's the Son of God, he's the King of Israel, and he's a rabbi. It's remarkable. And Jesus even seems surprised. Verse 50, Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. So Jesus almost seems surprised. Nathanael, of course, was prepared ahead of time. The Holy Spirit was acting on him. And this interaction with Jesus has this profound effect of crystallizing his faith that this, in fact, is the Messiah. This, in fact, is the Son of God and the King of Israel. And this is, in fact, the Messiah that we have been waiting for a long time. So the Holy Spirit moves on Nathanael, and all this crystallizes. 51, and he said to him, most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So because of his faith, because of the statement of faith, Nathanael's going to see great things. Great things are going to be revealed. He's going to see heaven open up. And Jesus assures him of this. Angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Now, what does that remind you of? Doesn't matter how long you've studied Torah, how intimately you've studied Torah, you should immediately flash back to Jacob's ladder. And you should immediately have your mind go back to Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. Now, Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there were angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Jacob is asleep. He's asleep on his way to Haran to see Uncle Laban. And he dreams that there's a ladder that goes from the earth to the heaven. And he sees angels ascending and descending on the ladder. And God stood above the ladder. And he said, I'm the God of Abraham and Isaac. God always identifies himself in the Tanakh, the Old Testament, as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So here he says, I'm the God of Abraham and Isaac. And then he restates the promises to Jacob. Land, descendants, and through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Through these three patriarchs, all the nations, meaning all of the Gentiles of the earth, will be blessed. This is an amazing promise. We'll have to do a program on it. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. So he says, I am with you. I am is his name. They don't know yet that that's his name, because God doesn't tell his name until we get to Exodus 3, and he tells it to Moses. In fact, in Torah, God points out that I loved Abraham, but I never told him my name. He says to Moses, you, I told my name to. 16, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. So Jacob wakes up and says, wow, the Lord was here and I didn't know it. But wow, this place is so awesome. This is the house of God and the gate of heaven. He saw the ladder that went into heaven. And he named the place Bethel, house of God. I always cringe when I hear the word Bethel, because Bethel, the E-L, is the important part of every Hebrew name. Bethel is the house of God. And so Jacob is asleep. Nathanael is awake. In the vision, in the dream, which was a dream slash vision that Jacob had, God was above the ladder. Nathanael has God standing next to him, telling him that he is going to experience the ladder in a different and much more powerful way than Jacob had experienced it. And this is the ladder between heaven and earth. This is the bridge. This is the house of God and the gate of heaven. He has the Messiah, the God-man, standing next to him. Nathanael is going to experience this. And we, as believers and as followers, as disciples, we experience this in a very real way. Because Jesus, Yeshua, is, in fact, the ladder that's between heaven and earth. He explains this to Nathanael. He doesn't have to tell Nathanael that about Jacob's ladder, because Nathanael will know that. All the people will know that. Because once a year in the synagogue, they will read the Torah portion that has to do with Jacob's ladder from Genesis 28. That part of Torah they will hear once a year. But at other times of the year, they will hear it discussed, they will hear it debated, they will hear it dissected into every word and every letter, because this is what the intellectual people did. I don't know if Nathanael did that, but he's very familiar with that part of Torah. So Jesus doesn't have to say to him, Nathanael, do you remember when Jacob was going to Haran and he had this dream? Because they will know that. So Jesus compares himself to Jacob's ladder, which is a ladder going from earth to heaven, to the gate of heaven. And he is going to experience this because of this amazing profession of faith that he makes. This profound confession that he makes, testimony, if you like, when he believes it in his head, he believes it in his heart, and he speaks it. And he was awake during this, not sleeping like Jacob was. Now, when Jacob said, gee, God was here and I didn't know it, how awesome is this place? This is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Nathanael's going to experience this in a much more powerful way, because he doesn't say that he said it, but he's thinking to himself, how awesome is this place? I am standing here talking to the Messiah, talking to the God-man, having the prophecy, the foretelling, the type, the shadow of what happened to Jacob be fulfilled in this place. This is the gate of heaven. This is the ladder. And angels are going to ascend and descend on the Son of Man just like they did on the ladder. Because they are messengers that come to earth and go back. And so Genesis 28 is fulfilled. Nathaniel is called. And, I know the music is playing. Well, thanks for tuning in, and I hope you got something out of this. But join us again next week for Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word, and we'll proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Have an awesome week.